Welcome to another episode of the Grove Podcast. It's been several weeks. It's been quite some time since we've been able to come together and meet due to the coronavirus. But we're here today, and my special guest is Pastor Clint Presley.
Yes, sir. Now, be sure you tell him.
Yes. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
We got 6 feet between us.
There's tape on the floor where we've measured out 6 feet.
I got a 6 foot mark and one over there.
So we are social distancing like the best of them, and we'll be sure to stay here and make sure we're good to go, abiding by all rules and all those kinds of things. It's been 6 weeks or so,
man,
and a whole lot has changed. A lot of things have stopped, like for me, getting haircuts. That camera is just far enough away. I had to cut my own hair last week, and so I don't need it to come any closer. It's going to see...
It's got some good product in it.
Well, I got a lot of product. Matter of fact, I feel like it's Lego hair. Because if not, it's going to be haywire. But, yeah, I mean, your hair is...
What?
Starting to wave a little bit.
I got a curl in my hair, man.
Yeah,
I wanted it to grow out.
How
like
long?
With a mane.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. So we're all getting used to a different way of life. The way we work is different. The way we interact with family and with friends and all those kind of things. All that stuff is different. The way we play is even different. So today, Pastor, just want you to talk about this pandemic, the effect that it has on your life and on life in general, and also how it impacts our church.
Yeah.
So. Let's just start with you. Give me a quick update on what things look like in your home.
My home. Well, it's changed a lot because I don't get to go to work as much.
Sure.
And you know, Connie, I think, is accustomed to me being gone more than I am. Although she's been pretty tolerant.
Yeah.
I've tried to maintain as much of the normal schedule as I would.
Sure.
On any given week. Get up pretty early still. I still do the exercise, have my devotion, and then study. So there's a lot of that. The time is taken up by doing things that are necessary for Sunday. And then trying to take advantage of the means we have to communicate with our people.
Yeah.
But it's been an adjustment, no doubt.
Yeah. So you had mentioned on Sunday in your sermon that your neighbors are ready for you to go back to work.
Well, no, Connie said that. Just because, if you see somebody... I want to talk to them.
Right.
I want to get to know them. And right now, everybody's walking in the neighborhood. So you can, if I see them coming close to the front yard, I'll walk out there.
We were talking earlier about how the whole introvert-extrovert thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going more towards the introvert way because I've enjoyed, being at home with just my family. But you see people outside and you try to go out there and talk to them.
Yeah. You know, and Connie's a classically an introverted person. Doesn't mean you don't love people. Mm-hmm. It just means that you're okay spending time, alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm all right with it. I just want to spend that much time alone. I don't like myself that much.
That's good. Well, today let's just talk a little bit about the individual, and then maybe some family stuff, and then the whole church.
Okay.
So we'll kind of build that way.
Okay.
A lot of people. Interact through social media now. That's kind of the big thing. I mean, you can't interact really with people face to face, so you get on social media. And I think what's happened, it's not a good thing. Sometimes I feel like a lot of people are just saying a whole lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
So how can a person stay somewhat informed with what's going on and stay connected to society and people in the midst of social media being their main source?
Yeah, we've had every other means taken away, especially face to face, and that means that we have to use social media almost exclusively.
Yeah.
And to get information, I use it like Twitter. I use for news sources, and then Facebook is more social. And then Instagram, kind of a mix between the two, really just seeing pictures of people.
Yeah.
For me, I got to be careful. It seemed like Twitter went angry several months before we went into what we're in now with COVID-19. So it became kind of a mean place, Twitter does. It seems like it's backed off that a little bit with the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I use it mostly to know what's going on with with things in our Southern Baptist Convention and to follow news sources. That's really what I use Twitter for.
Mm-hmm.
And then Facebook is where you see most of what people are doing.
Right.
But the truth is that there's a lot of junk out there all the time.
Well, you know, I get overwhelmed because now all of a sudden everyone has this medical degree.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're able to, yeah. You know, Lord, I mean, there's people I know who, you know, don't really take a lot of time to study anything, yet they're putting up graphs every other day, you know, and all kinds of stuff with flattening the curve and all that kind of stuff. But tell me, what do you think people should be doing during this time, especially believers?
Well, I think we should be listening to what our government says. You know, as Christians, we're law-abiding citizens, so whatever we've been told to do by way of the law, I think we do that, whether we agree with it completely or not. We're going to have sliding scales of where we think we ought to be. You know, when it first started happening, I thought, man, it'll take the National Guard to keep me from having church on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, that's not really, it's not Christian to not right. obey the laws of the land.
Sure.
So I think Christians should be doing that. And then finding ways to stay joyful and redeem the time that we've been given. So that means I think spending a lot of time in the Word. For me, that's in the mornings. The best time for me is to spend time in God's Word in the morning. And then to pray. You have a little more time to pray for people and let them know you're praying for them. Maybe even send the prayer that you've prayed to them. And then I think you got to find some ways to redeem the time that you have during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have a lot of work to do, so I haven't been bored yet. I've been able to read more, which has been a lot of fun. And so, yeah, those are a couple of things I think people ought to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I ought to be exercising, spending time with the Lord, reading, and then finding ways to redeem the time, especially now it's springtime. It's mostly nice outside.
Mm-hmm.
So thank the Lord that it's this time of year and it's not, you know, raining every day.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned on Sunday several things to be praying for with just college students, high school students, with graduations and stuff coming up. And so those are certainly good things to be praying about. But even Bible reading, can you be a little bit more specific with maybe like what you're reading through, sort of Bible plan?
Sure.
Or whatever?
I use our daily reading, the plan we're using as a church.
Okay.
I'll use it. I accidentally have gotten, you know, way ahead. So I'm out in June. Just because sometimes I'm reading and enjoying, so I just keep reading. Mm-hmm. Then I mark it out. I have a hard copy. I like to mark what I'm doing. And then I'm trying to memorize passages, which is, you know, for me, I don't memorize well. So I'll have to read over it every morning 10 times. I'll use the Fighterverse app that Desiring God developed. It's been helpful because you can fill in blanks. So I use that, and that's been, you know, a good tool for me in my own devotional life.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk discipleship right now.
Okay.
So it looks a little different, obviously.
It does.
Not able to meet one-on-one with people. How can we as believers, as members of Hickory Grove, how can we be a part of the discipleship process?
Yeah. I think one is to stay connected, especially with your small group ministries, whether it's Sunday school or discipleship group. Or, you know, with Abide, with a small, like my wife has two discipleship groups.
Mm-hmm.
They've been using Zoom and FaceTime some. And here recently, they've started meeting in our front yard. So we don't care about the grass very much. It's a big front yard. People just pull their cars up, back up, and open the tailgate and sit and talk and go over their Bible reading.
That's good.
So I think finding appropriate but creative ways to be as together as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thankful, like, think if this were 1918 when the Spanish flu came through 100 years ago. I mean, they didn't have the means to be able to keep appropriate distance and yet maintain some form of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've tried to do with the church, even with Sunday. What we do on Sundays, it's supremely odd to be in the room, you know, and to try to lead worship and nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just strange.
Yeah.
But for us, it's an important piece of discipleship. Going to church is a big piece of discipleship. It's not just connecting. It's also hearing the word, singing the word, and praying the word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've tried to find as many ways as possible to keep the wheels of discipleship rolling in the middle of what we've got.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about evangelism. I mean, we have time, so now is a good opportunity as far as time-wise, but how can people stay engaged with evangelizing?
I think now's a good time to lay groundwork for evangelism. What I mean by that is I am meeting people in my neighborhood that I have never, ever seen.
Okay.
And people are much more friendly, and willing to talk. And I think starting the relationships now, and then when we're opened up, when we can gather in one another's homes, I think a good next step is having someone in your home, maybe for a meal. I think that's where a good and solid gospel conversation can be had.
That's good.
I think right now, though, is a great time to break the ice of superficial seeing someone. I think we can take the next step, finding out their names, and then being able to start praying for them by name. And when this is lifted, now you've got a runway to build a genuine relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got some neighbors that have been out and about walking, and my wife and I go on a walk about every other day. We're walking 3 or 4 miles or so, and met this couple. They're a young couple, just moved to the neighborhood, been maybe 6 or 8 weeks or so, and it's been neat to be able to build that relationship with them. Now, you know, of course, they stay in the street, and we stay up on the porch and talk to them, pretty much yelling at them, but it's been really neat to kind of lay that groundwork, just as you were talking about earlier. Let's talk a little bit about families. Right now, people are spending a lot more time. I think you even mentioned this on Sunday. People are spending a lot more time now with their families than maybe ever have before.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the issues that maybe some families are dealing with that's magnified now because they're with each other all the time. Maybe you can give us some wisdom for marriage. Maybe if there's some people having some marriage issues or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think that what you're seeing is, Connie told me, I don't know if this is true or not. I mean, I don't think Connie would lie about it. What I mean is, I don't know where she got the information, but there's been a rise in domestic calls for.
I've heard that.
I don't know if that, I didn't see the documentation, but I can see how it could be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're instead of spending 2 hours a day in the same house, now you're spending 24 hours. You know, I mean, even the best will start to irritate one another a little bit. So I think good marriages, people that love each other and are patient with one another and are walking with the Lord, they adjust and do so quickly, and many people will be glad to have it. They're glad to get to spend some time with one another.
Mm-hmm.
I think that oftentimes people, if you have two people with strong personalities, even as they love the Lord, it may become very difficult. It may depend on the size of your house. You know, if you've got a small house, nowhere to go. You're in the same room.
Yeah.
Though the danger is for those that whose homes are a little volatile.
Mm-hmm.
And if things are not good on the best day, now if everybody's home, that's where I think some of the danger is. Mm. It's where it's sad to know that there are homes like that.
Right. Right.
That end up with abuse or whatever you might come up with.
Certainly.
I think for Christian homes, we try to find a way to take advantage of it. I think being active is going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
At least it is for me. And keeping a focus on discipleship. It's one of the reasons we've done what we've done at Hickory Grove. You know, the temptation was to have a devotion every single day. Like, my first thought was, all right, we need to give our people something every single day in the mornings, and we'll have something in the evenings for them. But I'm not sure that's the greatest way to do it. We want to make sure we're doing something for our students and children, college, during our Wednesday night pastor's class, Sunday morning, doing Sunday school. And then really, you've got Christian people that can disciple one another. They should be taking some responsibility, reading the Bible themselves. And I want people to miss, I want people to miss being at church.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't allow anything we're doing now to replace or feel like it's replacing the church, because it can't.
Right.
And it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
All we're doing now for the last 6 weeks is doing our best to augment, to uphold. This is a weak crutch to get us back to when we can be together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, with my Sunday school class, you know, we're doing a Zoom Sunday school class meeting every Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's neat to see all these kids running around everywhere, and you can hear them chattering in the back and stuff like that. And I love it. I love to look at these families and see these young kids. And but parenting can be tough during this time because, you know, maybe you go to work and your kids go to maybe some sort of childcare or daycare or something like that, or go to school or whatever. And now they're with you nonstop. There's some troubles that may come about with some parenting
stuff. Doing homeschool, yeah.
What's your thoughts on some parenting stuff?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. My kids are gone.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is easy.
Yeah. Right.
You know, me and Connie have coffee in the morning, read our Bibles, and it's really easy.
Yeah.
Now you're not only parenting. I mean, now you're doing school,
right,
which is much, to me, is be much harder.
Right.
Just because it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
I think a mom or dad has to, like, talk themselves into understanding this is what God has given us.
Mm.
This child is a gift, and my responsibility is to honor the Lord by pouring into this child, even as it is costly. It feels costly to your own soul. Thank the Lord, this won't be, hopefully, lasting forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's good. You know, there are a lot of people who struggle with anxiety and stress. How can people deal with some of those things even now?
Yeah, I don't want to speak beyond what I'm an expert in, because people have some genuine struggles with anxiety or stress. To me, that's different than worry.
Mm-hmm.
So worry is a different category than stress and anxiety. And I think that is to stay in, if you're seeing a counselor, or you have a psychiatrist, or you're taking medicine, I think make sure you're doing all of those things to the degree you can that you've been doing. So I think it's best to have as much a normal activity as you can. It can't be completely normal. And then I think that it's going to be important that you make sure if you struggle with anxiety especially, that you're staying close to people. I think the temptation oftentimes is to wall off. And I think that you're going to work hard to make sure you're letting Christian brothers and sisters know that you're having a hard time. Mm-hmm. There's no shame in that. That's why we have the church, is we help one another through times like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my first kind of response. My second is to get out of bed, get dressed, go outside, do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Theodore Roosevelt, he didn't have everything right. But someone that struggled with melancholy, with depression, one of the things that helped keep it at bay, it doesn't work all the time, is to find a way to be active, to give yourself to something. And that's not the cure-all, but it certainly does help.
You know, something that would be good is if, you know, our church folks, if you know people that's like that, reach out to them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. To take some initiative.
Because
right now, so many other things have been taken away. We have to overcompensate. I think you have to overcompensate with texting and calling and social media. I think you should be on those things and using them redemptively in ways that you don't have to do normally.
Right.
Because you don't get to see people.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. So typically, you know, if you know someone who's struggling with, even in their marriage or parenting or whatever, you know, you see them once a week or, you know, two or three times a week at church and church activities. Now you don't see them at all. So now's a good time to call them, pick the phone up and call.
Yeah.
Text, reach out to them on social media, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's not the time to say, this is none of my business.
Right, right, it is your business.
It's now the time to say, it is my business.
Right.
Well, and they'll let you know if it ain't your business.
That's true, yeah. It's very true.
Yeah.
And we also have pastors that are here all the time.
All the time, not here.
Not here, but they're available.
Yeah, right.
By phone.
Available, yeah.
All the time. So, you know, you may not see every one of them on a Sunday or on Wednesday or whatever with the video stuff going on, but they're available. We're all available to give any sort of biblical guidance, but we also, our counseling center is still available.
Yeah.
Krista Phipps, Dr. Phipps.
Still working hard.
Still working very hard and seeing a lot of people and providing a lot of help. So there's a lot of care and a lot of help there. It's a great resource for members of our church. So let's kind of pull back a little bit more and talk a little bit about the church, just the whole church.
Okay.
Let's talk through, well, we've been doing several weeks online.
Mm-hmm.
Just really quickly, you mentioned earlier, but let's talk about how awkward it is.
Man, it is so it is so strange. So I've tried to keep as much as I can normal. Mm-hmm. So I even study the same times during the week for the most part. Saturday afternoon, I'll write the manuscript out. Saturday night, we'll have the same breakfast I've been having. You know, Sunday morning, still an early morning, 4 o'clock, get up, go over the sermon, go to the church, and nobody's there. Nobody's there. And to stand there in that cavernous, I mean, because both places are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And to look out, excuse me, and nobody be there is really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can just, I start thinking about, thankfully people sit in the same places. So I think about that person.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that person's watching. And I can, as I'm preaching, and think about talking to him or her.
Mm-hmm.
That's been helpful. I'm still tired. It makes me tired.
So pretty much on Sundays when you're preaching, you know, you'll say something that's kind of off the cuff, funny, you know, whatever. And I want to laugh.
Right.
But I also know that, you know, sometimes noises inside the worship center throws you off a little bit.
I get distracted. I can't help it. And so, but right now what I wouldn't give for some crying babies and, you know, in the sanctuary.
A
you
cell
know what
phone
I mean?
Going it's off so, or something.
Right, something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess I'm being punished for the times that I complained about those things.
You just need a little kid to run up on the stage.
I'd be happy for a 9-year-old to walk down the aisle to go use the bathroom.
Well, I always feel weird. I don't ever want to laugh or whatever. Although this past Sunday, I did say amen. And I said it and was like, oh, I hope that wasn't too loud. You know,
but you don't normally do that on regular Sundays.
No, you know, I
don't
a little,
hear you say amen.
I
no,
give a
don't.
Little, mm.
No, you don't.
I do. I mean, I do. You know, but it's not all the time, I guess. But, you know, my style of worship leading, and this has been a little bit strange for me. Oftentimes when I'm leading worship, I like to sing and I'll back up. Hey, sing this out, and I'll back up and let them sing. And
nobody there singing
nobody
it out.
There.
Just
ain't
me.
Nobody there. Right, it's just you. Which is why I can't back away from the microphone.
I am singing, though.
You are singing, and
I mean,
I'm
the only person
that.
There, so I'm worshiping. I'm standing.
I appreciate
where
that.
Where am I supposed to stand?
I hear that low rumble over there on the side when you're out there. It's good. It's good. Well, let's talk about what we can look forward to, what we're looking to do in the coming weeks, and whatever sort of adjustment we're thinking of making even past that.
Well, hopefully in due time, the restrictions will be lifted up. I think they'll be staged as they go, and if they are staged, probably the gathering, the large gathering, will be at the very back end.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how long we'll have to do what we're doing now. I think between now and the time when it's completely open, that we'll be doing some hybrid things. So there might be a time where we're doing online like we are now, mm-hmm. but also some smaller gatherings. We really haven't figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know a timeline, but as we know more and more, we'll have a plan to phase in.
Mm-hmm.
But gatherings in the groups that we have, especially the large group at 8 o'clock, 10:15 at Mallow Creek, and 11 o'clock at Main, those will be on the last, but we'll find a way or try to find a way to do that as soon as possible, mm-hmm. but stay in full compliance with what the government has asked us mm-hmm. to do.
It seems like churches all over America have been really creative with you know, the whole drive-in church and the all kinds of stuff, but it seems like all those things are getting shut down as well, you know.
Yeah, I think they are, but I do think that, you know, we see some light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. see some mm-hmm. hope, and can start planning. I'm afraid it's going to take some patience for us because North Carolina mm-hmm. will be slow to do it. Charlotte and Mecklenburg County, largest counties, with the most problem, will be among the last in the state mm-hmm. to open up.
Sure.
So that middle ground is what's going to be so hard. Mm-hmm. Is how many people can you have here? What, and then doing our best to be as respectful as possible for those that are not quite yet comfortable
mm-hmm.
with coming to church. Right. So that's why I can foresee us doing for some time a little bit of a hybrid approach.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. The online gathering is still important for people to be a part of that, for people to tune in and watch.
I think it is. Yeah. I've been real slow to call it. I don't want to equate what we're doing on Sundays right now online with what we do on Sundays when we're gathered together.
Correct.
This is sweet and low in the place of sugar. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It has some of the same taste, but it doesn't have the same impact.
Right.
And but having said that, I think it's important, especially as we sequentially go through a book of the Bible, as you stay connected with your church, as you on the Lord's Day, you make the Lord's Day different than any other day, it would be very easy to make them kind of run together. And it's good to mark that out as Christian people. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good witness for your own family. If you have a family, if you live in a house with someone, for them to gather together, mm-hmm. to pray together, read the Bible together. I think it's good for moms and dads and kids, for parents to lead out, for kids to see dad taking this very seriously, or mm-hmm. if you're a single mother, for kids to see mom taking this very seriously. Mm-hmm. So I think those are very important things to do.
Mm-hmm. And even the weekday offerings that we have with the children's ministries meeting and the student ministries. I know someone's always on a Zoom call at my house,
right.
whether it's student ministry, children's ministry, or school, all those things. I mean, someone's always in a Zoom meeting. Someone's always connected, which has been good for our family.
Right.
But it seems like that may be the thing for some time, huh?
It might be. Mm-hmm. Sure might be.
Even thinking through May, of course, we're about to come up on May, mm-hmm. and then come up on the summertime. Any thoughts towards the summer, what that may look like?
Yeah, I think that my thoughts will be clearer when we have better information.
Sure.
You know, you've got mm-hmm. April the 29th, I think, was the to have everything shut down mm-hmm. until then, but it won't be immediately opened.
Right.
So I don't know what the summer's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I think for our typical summer ministries, it's going to look completely different.
Right.
For a myriad of reasons, as everything else has looked different. I'm not sure what we'll do. We will do something mm-hmm. and keep seeking to lead families in discipleship.
Equipping. I think our age-graded ministries, those pastors, they're doing a great job with equipping our students, our children, and our families. It's been really, really good. I think that as long as the church building stays closed, it's going to magnify our need to be in the community more and for our people to be equipped to go out into the community. I know something this week is happening with the food pantry. We're providing every day. We're sorting and packing and delivering food. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be there on Thursday to help do some of that stuff.
Right.
Those are good ways that we can continue to reach our community. Now, you know, they may not see us on TV doing that kind of stuff, but our people are out there serving, and it's good to see.
Yeah, it's been remarkable. Casey Norkett, our missions pastor, he's sort of spearheaded that, mm-hmm. and Charlie Norwood is over the food pantry there. And, you know, Casey has signed up so many of our people, mm-hmm. just employees, mm-hmm. people that work at Hickory Grove. They're now serving there, doing so safely. Doing so with great caution, but serving so many families. You know, the last Tuesday I was there, and it was just a trial run, and there were 200 families that came through there. I mean, their cars lined up all over the parking lot. Yeah. And so they'll be doing that on Tuesdays and Thursdays, mm-hmm. and it's a tremendous ministry, and will be increasingly important the longer we stay in this sort of lockdown position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, any final word of encouragement or any words of wisdom or anything you want to give to our people?
Just to say that the Lord is good, that God is going to get us through this, that this is a great, we see this as God's sovereign time of testing, refining, and purifying, and strengthening, and a time to shine for the gospel. Mm. A time, that's when Christians shine the greatest is in crisis. Mm-hmm. And so it should be for us, and to not lose hope. This will be over soon, and we'll get to rejoice together on Sunday mornings like we love to do.
It'll be a good time when we're all back together.
It'll be a good time together.
It'll probably be a long service. I'm probably going to have to plan about 10 songs.
Right.
We ain't going nowhere afterwards. Be a little potluck luncheon or something afterwards.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. There you go. Although I'm not going to touch that food.
Probably not. People don't want to do that.
No. Yeah. So anyway, Pastor, thank you so much for today. This has been good. I hope it's been helpful to our people. They'll be able to listen and hear from your heart and kind of know what to expect in the coming weeks, coming days. So
great. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much for being here, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.